Gigit, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
You're listening to Dig It, recorded live on WRS with Shillaga Garden Centre. We've been talking about bugs today, our insect friends and our insect foes. There are so many insects we're trying to encourage into our gardens, from pollinators to beautiful dragonflies. However, we look at reasons why greenfly and caterpillars are less than ideal or downright dangerous to us humans and our pets. Whilst we're talking insects, we also looked at some different spots in Switzerland to walk amongst the butterflies. On with the show.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillaga, let your inspiration grow.
Talking good bugs, talking bad bugs, just insects overall, in general, in the garden. And Hester is our expert this morning. Hester, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to find out about the good bugs and the bad bugs. We want insects in our garden.
We do, yeah.
But I tend to hear more about the insects that we don't like in the garden, the ones that are causing problems.
Complain about. So we could start off with some good bugs. There's actually a lot of good bugs, and part of having good or useful bugs in your garden that do a job is having kind of a not too tidy garden would be part of it. So they have lots of places to hide and to live, and also to have a wide variety of food sources for them. So if we think about bees, for example, we need bees. We need bees if you're going to grow almost any vegetables apart from root vegetables, which don't need bee intervention because they grow in the ground. No bees in ground. Things like tomatoes, apples, anything like any fruit, we need bees or other pollinating insects to walk around in the middle of our flower, get pollen on them and transfer the pollen on their feet and on their legs and on their bodies up onto another flower, because otherwise they don't get pollinated.
We've heard this, it seems to be something that we've realised a lot in the last, I would say, between 5 and 10 years, suddenly save the bees.
Well, partly because the neonicotinoids that have been used in agriculture had caused a massive drop in bee populations. There are also issues with bees being shipped, particularly in the US, much, much less here. So where flowering, particularly for almonds, but for other plants as well, is kind of progressive across different states, millions of bees would be packed up in little crates and would be shipped. And understand that this is quite stressful for the bees. Mm. And they were getting huge population drops, and also things like varroa mite, which is a fairly endemic mite to hived bees, would just get reaching record levels because the bees were stressed and were being moved around. But it's the same with some of the other bees that weren't being moved around because they were under stress, because they were having fewer and fewer and fewer food sources. And they were also discovering that a great deal of their food sources were poisoned as well.
Now, of course, though, bees are not the only pollinators.
There's lots of them, actually. Yeah, pretty much anything that visits flowers, including things like hoverflies and all sorts of other things, also can be useful, including funny things like little beetles that walk around. They can transfer pollen as well.
So those are good bugs.
Yeah.
Overall, these are the bugs that we want in the garden. There
absolutely
are quite a few that we do not. What are the bugs that that you deal with?
See, I would say aphids or greenfly or whitefly or blackfly are probably the ones I hear about most. Mm. So they're little, mostly sap-sucking insects, tiny, really little.
Why are they a problem? Look at greenfly, for example. Why are greenfly a problem?
So they're partly because their population can explode. Mm. They are capable of what's called parthenogenesis, so the females can be born pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Extraordinary.
Oh.
So you can imagine you only need a couple of generations of that to happen, and you have enormous. And so what happens is they put their little mouth parts in and they suck the sap. And you really notice it on the youngest leaves where the proportion of sugars is highest. And so they get the most volume of nourishment out of it for their, you know, sap sucking. So they can damage the leaves. So you'll see sometimes these weird speckly effects, and that's aphids. So they basically sucked the leaves and their mouth parts have pierced the xylem and phloem where the plant exchanges salts and sugars and water throughout it. And so they've actually damaged the structure of the plant. And the other problem is that the plant then sometimes creates this kind of crinkled effect and crinkles its leaves to protect itself because the aphids have been damaging it. So you get kind of leaf damage. What also happens is then they poop out sugar Which is delightful. Mm. So if they don't get milked, let's use that term, by ants who carry it away for their own purposes because it's very high in sugar, what happens is it drops onto the lower leaves and you get molds on the leaves as well. The other problem with aphids is that they can transfer diseases, things like tomato mosaic virus and tobacco mosaic virus and lots of other problems. Their mouth parts transfer in the spit, bit like dengue fever and, you know, malaria and stuff in mosquitoes.
So then we get bugs that we can use to deal with bugs. So aphids can be controlled.
Very much so. Yeah.
Using other bugs.
They can. Ladybirds and lacewings.
Brilliant.
Which are voracious predators, particularly when they're in their own kind of larval stage. So like any butterflies or anything like that, they start off as little kind of crawly things, like looking like caterpillary sort of, and they go through several iterations. They go through several different stages before they become the bug that we know, like a ladybird or a butterfly. They are something else that doesn't look like the adult form.
Let's be honest, they look maggoty.
They're not the best. Yeah. Yeah, they're not the best. But you can send off for them. So you buy your voucher either online or you buy it in a shop like Shilliger and you send it off and you say, next Tuesday, please, I would like to have some ladybirds in the post.
But like you said about transferring bees and sending bees across the country, is this not very stressful for the ladybird? Well, no, because they're in a different
state.
They're
sort of in a different state and it's really quick. And so when you get them, you'll think, I just spent 30 francs on that. And they're little tiny black flattish things, quite long, with lots of legs. And you really think, really? However, you keep them in the box for a few days, depending on what stage you've bought them at, and you give them little leaves. And then you move them very gently onto the plant that is infested. And you'll see them get to work almost immediately. They're like lions and tigers of the aphid world. They're amazing.
Talking all things bug related this morning with Hester for Dig It. I know that we've talked about good bugs, bad bugs. I want to find out about neutral bugs. We'll do that in just a moment. Coming up on Dig It, you are listening to WRS.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We've got a great question that's come in from Silke and we're going to get to it in just a few minutes. Hold your horses on it. It's just about where you can go and see some butterflies and some rearing of butterflies. And so we do have a couple of answers for you, Silke. You're going to have to stay patient on this one. I do just want to say that we've got a couple of kits to grow your own butterfly. I make it sound like a plant. To rear your own butterflies. And we're giving this away. This is a prize courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. So thanks very much to them. If you would like to get into the draw for that, I'd like for you to name any insect. That's right, any insect, preferably one that you would like to encourage into your garden as we're talking insects today. So what insect would you like to encourage into your garden or onto your garden space, be that a balcony or rolling fields, acres of rolling fields, whatever you have as your garden, what do you want to encourage on to your space? Let us know. You'll go into the draw for those butterfly grow kits. Send your answer into 939, start your message off with WRS. That's the text or email studio at worldradio.ch. Hester, an example of a bug you might want to encourage?
Oh, how about a lovely red admiral butterfly?
Oh, that's nice. I like that. You would be in the draw, but you can't be. Sorry, you can't. There we go. Got a couple of kits to give away. We're asking you for good bugs, but let's quickly talk about neutral bugs. Bugs that are neither good nor bad.
Yeah, I would class ants in that. They make a little bit of a mess of your lawn and they can make a little bit of a mess underneath your pavement, but they largely just kind of tidy up and get on with it. They're a bit like woodlice. Woodlice are those little grey insects that live under logs.
And curl they up just, in a ball.
They do. My mother calls them slaters, which is a nice name for them. Oh. They're the world's tidier uppers. That's all they do.
Do we need to worry about them really getting too close to the house or anything like that? Whether they're going to come through any...
If they come in the house, you could probably shoo them out again.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything. They're not going to chew through any cables and they're not going to bite you. They just are.
Great.
Let them just get on with life. And they do a very good job, particularly woodlice, of clearing up dead animals, bits of dead plant material, things like that. Part them off.
Neutral bugs. What about bad bugs?
Well, I'm going to put slugs and snails in the bad bugs category.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
What's wrong with them?
because they eat young plants and they're an absolute menace.
Right.
They're annoying. However, they are quite a useful part of the food sources for things like thrushes and blackbirds and stuff. So if you need to kill them, either slice them in half with a sharp... Yeah, it's really disgusting. No. Or the marginally less disgusting method is buying some nematodes. Now, nematodes are these little microscopic animals that hunt and kill a specific prey. And in this case, it's slugs. And so you, when you buy it, you buy a little, you buy a voucher and then you send the voucher off and you get what looks like ash, honestly, looks like wood ash in a little plastic packet. And you think, yeah, that's not what I was expecting. Mix it in with a washing can of water, wear gloves because they're live, and water it onto wherever you've got a slug problem. You may need to do it more than once, but they're really effective. And with most nematodes, including those for things like vine weevils and stuff like that, it needs to be a certain time of year. The soil temperature needs to be a particular temperature, but now is actually quite a good time to do it.
So they're a bit of a pain. What about dangerous bugs? Are there? I think we're going to go down a caterpillar route.
We are, yeah. Processionary caterpillars, you shouldn't touch them. Don't let your children touch them, your dogs touch them. And if you see a nest, so pine processionary caterpillars are quite a problem in this region. We don't tend to get the oak processionary moth. That tends to be moth, which that tends to be further south, but it can occur. If you see a nest, which is this kind of huge, like it looks like a massive white spider's web, it's usually very up high in a tree. If you can have it removed by a tree specialist, or sometimes the fire brigade will do it in some communes.
Goodness.
You need to have it removed and got rid of. Do not put it in your compost, anything like that. Because what happens when the good weather comes, they start processing. Literally, they go up and down the tree. And they drop these really irritant hairs as they go. And dogs in particular are very affected by it, because if they lick them, their tongues can become necrotic, and so their noses as well. Children can have terrible, terrible, terrible responses, like rolling in nettles, but much, much worse because the hairs stay in the skin.
Anything else to be aware of in terms of dangerous bugs? Bugs that are dangerous to
where
humans,
we live?
Pets?
Not really.
It's the caterpillars we just got to look out for.
Yeah.
They're the baddies.
I don't touch them. And if you have them, if you see them, get rid of them. There are traps to attract the female moths or the male moths so that they don't breed. And they're also quite good rings that you can put around the tree that catch them. It's like a little sort of, I don't know, a curly hose pipe which catches them, and they all fall in a bag. They're not bad. They work.
Genius.
Yeah.
All right, Hester, stay here. And in a minute, we're just going to talk about some different places where you can go and visit, and also an event that Hester is doing. It's this evening from 6:30. So stay with us. We'll tell you about some different things that you can get up to. And Silke, we will get to your question in just a moment.
Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Okay, I can't wait to get to this question because it is very, very apt, and I've got a great answer for you. Silke, your question. I visited a butterfly farm in the US some years ago, and I wonder if there's such in our vicinity. It was lovely for kids especially, but adults also found it fascinating. And Silke said, I did. Thanks in advance, just in case. Silke, we've got some answers for you. Not one, but a few, in fact. So the first thing, Hester, I guess.
Shilliger have butterflies in their shop. They have a whole butterfly-orium? I don't know. They have a serre aux papillons in French. And it's going to be there for another couple of weeks. And they're just sort of flitting around being butterflies.
They are. It's this huge exhibition. And it's kind of in the middle of the whole store. It's you're under some netting because the store is actually really tall.
Yes,
in fact.
I suspect they'd all be up on the roof.
They would all
out.
Be gone. You wouldn't be able to see them. So it's under some netting. And they have it over a couple of months throughout the summer. So it's been on since the 15th of July, going on until the 15th of September. So you've got to move because he's got it for another couple of weeks. But do head over to Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and check that all out. It's quite fascinating. You're absolutely right. It is very, very fascinating to see. So head on over. Of course, the other thing is you can win your own grow kits. We've got a lovely prize from Shilliger Garden Centre as well. We're giving away these rearing kits for butterflies. Great for all ages. I mean, that's something you can do with the kids too. All you need to do to get into the draw for one of those two kits that we've got to give away today is simply just name any kind of insect that you would like to encourage into a garden space. You can send it into studio@worldradio.ch. So there's a couple of options. Go to Shilliger for the next 2 weeks, grow your own, and also maybe head over to Aubonne.
Yeah, so you could go to Aubonne, or actually, you know, where else you could go, I've just thought of, Papillarama in Kertsers.
Oh, okay.
It's fabulous several geodesic domes, which are angled so that they capture the maximum of light. Kertsers is kind of on the way towards Bern, so it's about an hour away from here, max. Mm-hmm. And they're open year round. There's also a dark dome, which has got night animals in it. It's really cool. Ooh. And they've got a total recreation of a foundation that they support in Belize as well. It's very cool. But it's at its heart is butterflies, and you can see butterflies, exotic butterflies, tropical butterflies, and some indigenous ones outside as well, all stages of development, and you're in among them. You can see them feeding, flapping about. It's really amazing.
That's
very cool.
Cool. What's it called again?
Papillarama.
Yeah. That's good.
It's very cool.
Let's head over a little bit more locally to Aubonne.
So Aubonne, if you've not been before, and I'm always shocked when people say, oh, I've never been, the Arboretum in Aubonne is quite something. It's very easy to get to by car, or you can go by public transport. There's a little walk from the bus stop. It's not far. And it's in the valley of the Aubonne River. So it's well protected. It's absolutely huge. It's a couple of hundred hectares, and there's more than 4,000 different trees. So it's a lot of different things to see. And it's arranged by region. So if you want to go to North America and you can't travel, you can go to North America in the Arboretum. You want to go to Japan, and that is where I would be going right now to go see the Japanese forest. In the next couple of weeks, it is going to start looking absolutely incredible. Right now, though, it's their heritage collection of apples and pears that I would be going to look at. And they've got a tasting session and a visit this coming weekend on the 5th. You need to sign up online. The 16 francs visit fee includes your visit to the entire park, which is 10 francs, and children are free. So you just need to sign up online. It's very cool. Also, they're going to have a plant fair. So excited.
I'm sorry, Hester. Calm down.
Just, so on the 25th and 26th of September, 10:30 till 5:30, some of the best producers from all over Switzerland are coming to Aubonne, including Reto Eisenhut, who is my favourite citrus and camellia specialist from the Ticino region, who's incredible. He's coming with a load of his beautiful plants. I will be putting in a personal order in advance for several clients and myself.
I wish everyone could see how Hester's eyes have lit up in the studio. Honestly, she's enthusiastic about plants at all times, but your eyes have just lit up. So that's, wait, the 25th?
25th and 26th. Mark it in your diaries.
Let's guess where Hester's going to be at
I'll
that
be there
time.
On both days.
Okay. Now, where are you going to be at 6:30 this evening?
I'm going to be in Projan this evening. So this is our last summer digital detox visit. It costs 10 francs. You need to sign up online via the Projan website, Projan. Musenational.ch for the Projan sector. Well, frankly, just give them a call this afternoon. And we will be looking at euphoric plants. So it'll be scratch and sniff visit.
Hang on a minute.
All sensual going, yeah.
So it's at 6:30.
It's at 6:30 till 7:30. So the museum's already closed, so it's a totally private visit.
You walk around,
hopefully barefoot if it's not raining.
Oh, that'll be nice.
It's going to be so cool. I'm so excited.
And the words digital detox, I presume then that I'm not allowed to take pictures for my Instagram.
No, don't do it for the gram, do it for your own mind.
I love that though. So you can sign up. Afternoon.
So 6:30 this evening, there's some spaces left.
Hang out with Hester. Okay, thanks very much. Stay tuned. We've got some more questions. We've got some of your questions to get through. So we'll do that after the Swiss news, which will be at 8:30. Stay with us, Hester. You're listening to Dig It. We're asking you today, what are the insects that you want to encourage into your garden? You will go into the draw for a butterfly rearing kit. In fact, we've got two of them to give away from Schilliger Garden Centre. Thank you to them. What insects would you like to encourage into your garden? We've got Diane, who said, apart from butterflies, I'd like to see more ladybirds in the garden.
Good one. Ladybirds are good.
Yeah, do good things as well. Also, we've got Jennifer, who says, I love dragonflies. I used to have amazing ones visiting my garden pond.
Oh, they are. And they're stunning.
I know they're stunning, but do they? I mean, yeah, they do anything practically
in
your garden.
They eat insects,
the bad ones.
Yeah. bee. Well, I don't think they could eat a bee, do you?
No, probably not. Also, we've got Rhoda who says butterflies, of course. And let's just have a look. We've got ladybirds from Claire on the text as well. Keep them coming in. Insects that you'd like to encourage into your garden. Also, we had Silky who came back and said, can you just tell me again the address of the event that you mentioned on the 25th and the 26th of September? That's the Arboretum in Oban, isn't it?
It is. The plant fair at the Arboretum. Bring your money.
Once again, Hester's eyes have lit up.
Plants!
Plants. Yes, plants. Indeed. And we've got questions. Can we get through them? Can we answer some listener questions?
Go
Are we ready? We've got Dora, who said, what happened to my Nandina? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are.
Nandina?
You are pronouncing that correctly.
I've got 20 of them in pots. This year, 3 have died. 2 others have got tiny leaves. There are no flowers. Is it a bug?
Probably not. I suspect it's probably because they're in pots and they haven't been watered or fed.
Oh.
Actually. I mean, unless there's actually evidence of chewing. So if you get this funny kind of hole punchery effect around the edges of the leaves, which means you've probably got vine weevils. And if you've got adult vine weevils, which are attacking the leaves, you've definitely got them at the roots, which are where the grubs live. And that's what does the damage, the real damage, because they eat through the roots and then your plant just falls over and dies. Literally, they can just fall out of pots because they've chewed through all the roots.
Goodness.
Unless you've got very evident signs of vine weevil damage, it's probably because you haven't fed them, watered them. Sorry, Dora. Although it's felt like a very wet year, Nandinas have got these very kind of shiny leaves and the water often drips off the edge and doesn't get into the bottom of the pot. So just because it's rained and you've got plants in pots doesn't mean enough water's got into the pot.
It's interesting, though, that she's got 20 of them. Three of them have died.
Yeah, I suspect they're being made as a sort of pseudo hedge between Dora and a neighbour, or, you know, boundarying a road if you actually can't get them in the ground. Yeah, water them and feed them and pull out the dead ones and replace them, I'd say.
Good luck with that. Laura has said, what has eaten the edges of the leaves of all my hydrangeas?
Hydrangeas. That's vine weevils.
In fact,
saw a whole ton of hydrangeas yesterday, chewed. The vine weevils, they said they're these little tiny black insects. They're kind of pooky snoot and they chew around the edges of the leaves. And it looks like someone's been around them with a hole punch. It's really distinctive. You can hand pick them, but they're little beggars, because if you go near it, they drop onto their backs so that you can't see them against the soil. I know, they're little monkeys. However, nematodes are really effective, and you can also try and use soft soap against them as well, but you can hand pick if you can find the little wretches. Nematodes are really good.
And that was what you said before about it looks like ash and you mix it in with some water.
Yeah, exactly. They're brilliant.
Okay, genius. Because Laura also does go on to say, I've looked for caterpillars and I can't see any. So that does give you more evidence that that's
absolutely
probably
that. I'd say so. And caterpillar damage tends not to be quite so selective around the edges. It tends to be the whole leaf.
Okay. So staying on the theme of caterpillars for a second, we've got Paul who says, what do I do about caterpillars? Let me just explain, though. He says, my neighbours have got lots of box and their gardener seems to spray it all the time. But he's got 2 box balls. They haven't been touched.
Ooh.
Worried what they might be. What's a box ball?
So a box ball is a tightly pruned literal ball of a box plant.
Right. So it's a hedge.
No, it's an individual usually. They're very expensive.
Right.
Because they've been pruned over many years in a nursery. And I would say you would absolutely want to keep an eye on them. So if your neighbours have a monoculture of box, they have a lot of box, I'd say that all of the box tree caterpillars in the region will be in your neighbour's garden, which is why the gardener's spraying quite so regularly. However, it sounds that if he is spraying or he's handpicking, which is really disgusting, which I've done as well, they're probably on top of the population. They're on top of any infestation, so they're less likely to come to your house. What you need to do is just keep checking the regular. If you see any kind of little moths about them, they're very inconspicuous, greyish moths, tiny. Or if you see any webbing, like looks like spiders' webs on them, keep an eye, because it means that they're in there. Or worse, which is what I saw on mine, were 2 blue tits, little birds, fighting on the surface of them. And actually, they were trying to get into the box ball to eat the caterpillars that were right at the heart of them. Because the caterpillars are smart. They go right into the middle of the plant to hide themselves. And then they come up on the leaves to feed. And they can defoliate. They can absolutely remove all the leaves, eat all the leaves of a plant in a weekend.
Do you know what I'd do, though, Paul? Be really nice to the neighbour's gardener.
Yeah. That's an even better suggestion.
I'd be really nice to that gardener and I'd say, if you just fancy just spraying just momentarily over this way towards the end,
fine.
It's fine with me, just to let you know. Paul, hope that helps. I've got another, it's non-bug related, but I'm going to throw it to you and just see if you know. I'm so sorry if this catches you off guard. Eleanor says, what are the orange flowers in the planters around Vevey? I'm going to see if you know this.
I drove past them. Okay. Yesterday. I drove past them yesterday and I actually looked up because I thought they're called Leonotis leonurus, otherwise known as lion's tail. And I have seen them before and they're absolutely stunning. It's a sort of shrubby perennial, I'd say maybe a metre tall, with these extraordinary orange whorls of flowers all the way up, like tubular whorls of flowers. They are stunning, stunning, stunning. They're hardy down to -8. So if you live kind of Vevey Montreux and you've got a sheltered garden, give them a go there, or at least go and have a look. And they're absolutely stunning the whole way down from the motorway. They are gorgeous.
I wondered if you might know that. There we go. Just proving that you can throw anything at Hester and see what she comes up with. What are they called again?
Leonotis leonurus, or lion's tail.
Oh, I've just started to Google it and Google's auto-filled it. It's
there
brilliant.
Aren't they stunning?
They are very beautiful, actually. It comes up as lion's ear
also
as well.
Lion's ear, and something like common dagger, which is a very unfortunate name for it. I think we're going for lion's tail.
They look very beautiful.
Aren't they fabulous? And I think if you live in a sheltered-ish garden and you're up that end of the lake, give them a go. They're cracking.
We love a hardy plant and also a perennial because it makes life easy if it comes back. Thanks very much, Hester. You've been great. Loved having you here again for Dig It this morning. I'm going to keep the competition open for another 15 minutes. Just name any insect that you would like to encourage into your garden. Like we've got Isabel who said, I love lots of different insects, but my favourite has to be the amazing dragonflies around my pond. Thanks so much. You are in the draw. You will go into the draw for that rearing butterfly kit, suitable for all ages. You can get involved with the kids or grandkids if you've got any, and something that you can all do together to see your own butterflies grow and then eventually release them. Also, though, if you're impatient, you want to go and see it straight away, head over to Shilliger Garden Centre. Their butterfly house will be open for another 2 weeks. It goes on until the 15th of September, where you can walk amongst the butterflies there. Thanks, Hester.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plonley.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Shilliger Garden Centre, whose butterfly house is open until the 15th of September in Glan. The competition in this podcast is now closed, but the prize we mention is available at Shilliger, so check them out. If you have gardening questions for our next episode, send them in now. Studio at worldradio.ch.